ready to go right now. I think that I've got my coffee in hand. I've got my pen at the ready. I've got my equipment fired up, ready to go. Had a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Lance Rue, so that will be coming up. And really, I'm just excited to be here and be with you guys. And I hope you enjoy the show. And let's get this thing going in the right direction. All right, all right. So, like I alluded to and mentioned, I had a great conversation with a gentleman by the name of Lance Rue. And what was nice about it is that he's pretty passionate about his stuff. But more importantly, what was really pretty cool was the fact that he's a musician, which is really, really awesome. And so you would never get that out of his sort of calm demeanor, unlike me where I got a big voice and all that good stuff. But Mr. Lance, he's got a wealth of knowledge and an incredible insight into the world of safety. Once again, I'm committed to trying to provide you as much as I possibly can of the leaders in the industrial space. And so I've got a coming up on the next podcast, a gentleman by the name of Brad McKee, and he is the founder of Disposable Hero Project. Go look at his Facebook page. Doing a lot of good things out there. He's also a owner of a fabrication shop, which he can provide a lot of good insight into the fab world. And then as well as a CrossFit gym. As much as I would love to be able to do CrossFit, I am woefully weak about that. But I do work out. No. I do. I try. And then following that, I'm trying to schedule an opportunity to meet with William Wainwright, PhD. He is the chancellor out at North Shore Technical College. And the premise behind this particular program is, of course, educating and when in doubt, educate and learn as much as you possibly can. And so Mr. Wainwright will be a great resource, and he runs that technical college out there. And I've had some experience with teaching at a technical college, and this is a new place, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. So without further ado, I'd like to be able to introduce you to the Mr. Lance Rue. Our interview occurred in his office, which is pretty cool when you go into his room or his office and you see his guitars and posters. It's pretty cool. You know, I kind of want to live that life at one point in time. But nonetheless, he did, and he has the posters and guitars to prove it. But he also started a business that is focused on keeping workers safe, and I had the privilege, and he said yes, to be able to have the opportunity to interview him. And so without further ado, here we go. All right, I'm here with one of a very special man by the name of Mr. Lance Rue, and that's Rue as in, if you're from Louisiana or any part of the South, Rue as in, I'm going to make a roux for a gumbo, and so I can always remember that name. Welcome, Lance. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate you having me.
Now, Lance is, he's the president, chief cook, bottle washer, and all-around great guy for this particular company. And apparently he started it. And Lance, tell me a little bit about Safety Pro Resources.
Well, Safety Pro is a safety consulting company. Started in 2005. And then basically I started it myself just doing independent work for various industries across up and down the river. Mainly in heavy industry, construction, and we do a lot of audits, a lot of compliance audits, management system audits, and lately we've been focusing on helping small businesses, and small businesses being less than 1,500 employees, manage their safety processes.
So. Now, you said you started the business, and how many years ago?
It was in 2005.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's a big decision. Especially here in Louisiana and around the South, where there's plenty of a pretty huge industrial base, mm-hmm. and you would have been just wonderfully slated for an opportunity to be able to just be, well, and work for one of those companies. How come you decided that I'm going to venture out on my own?
Well, I did have some help. I started out with one client who invited me to do their internal compliance audits, and it was there I started with one client. And at the time, I was working for a consulting company as an operations manager and already had a good idea of how to run a consulting business.
Now, were you married at the time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. How was that conversation to say, hey, I'm going to break away from...
Well, she's the one that talked me into it, actually. I was kind of reluctant because I was pretty comfortable. But she saw the opportunity as and encouraged me to take the leap. So, and it didn't hurt that she's an attorney and an MBA, too. So she kind of...
Oh, okay. I hear what you're saying. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
And I would imagine she helped you start it, set it up legally and all that good stuff. And
yeah,
it's rock solid.
She's a, what do you call her, habitual entrepreneur herself. So has multiple businesses. So it was nothing for her.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
I'm married up for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I did too. Well, look at us, man.
And look at us now.
Yeah, look at us. And so you started it in 2005, and did you have a just sort of a driving purpose behind your business, saying, "Hey, okay, I'm doing this, and I'm doing this compliance stuff," but what drove you to say, "I want to do something more. I want to build this company to be something special."
It came reluctantly. You know, I'm starting out. And most people starting businesses are self-employed. They say they have a business, but really it's just them. And they're promoting themselves, a lot of self-promotion and doing the work themselves. But you're really you're self-employed. You don't have a business until you start employing other people. And it came out of just not having enough time in a day to do all the work. So I started to hire somebody. And at first, I didn't want to have to be responsible for a team and have overhead and everything that goes with it. So, I had to do it to move forward. And with that, we were able to take on different things because I have a limited skill set, and I had to bring on people that were smarter than me and had degrees in different areas, and so that we can focus on different things. So it's really helped the organization. I think we have a niche.
You mentioned niche. What do you mean by niche? What niche do you fulfill that is sort of interested in the market?
Well, we're kind of doing there's been a shift in safety. And in the last, well, it's been happening for several years now, but lately the shift is, the paradigm is shifting from, they call it safety one, safety two, old view to new view. And it has to do with building resilience within your organizations, and so the idea is we're going to have, as long as we have humans involved with the process, we're going to continue to have errors, and you know humans make errors. That's we do this every day, all the time, but how well your organization manages risks depends on how well you're able to absorb those errors. And so they call this resilient engineering. And so what we're looking at is how do we manage safety, but how better yet, how do we manage the failures? How well do we fail? And how are we able to recover from those failures, and how well we learn from those failures? So that's kind of where we're focused on. And it sounds like a lot of, it's kind of, safety is not, I've said it before, it's not sexy. But when we talk about these things, we're trying to shift the view or shift the traditional look at safety and start looking at the risks and how we manage these risks that are going to keep people from having workplace fatalities, because we've gotten very good at managing recordable accidents, sprains or cuts, and if you look at the incident rates over, recordable incident rates from the Bureau of Labor Statistics over the last 8 or 9 years, incident rates have been gradually decreasing, but our fatality rates have been fairly flat. So we've gotten really good at managing these minor injuries, but the fatalities and serious incidents, we call them SIFs, have remained flat. So we haven't gotten better at managing those types of injuries. But, you know, if you look at the last 8 or 9 years, at least in this area, you know, the expanse of occupational clinics have grown. And so they're making a really good business out of managing these small injuries. And so we've gotten better at keeping these things from being OSHA recordable, in my opinion. So, but we're not really addressing the problem of keeping people from getting killed on the job.
I'm going to digress a little bit, and I'm interested in knowing, given the fact that you've sort of brought this to my attention, where do you see, let's say, young, upcoming safety professionals, where would you recommend them to focus their craft, their profession going forward, and where do you see this going forward into the future?
So we're sort of at a place where it's not like a tangible thing, or like how do you market this idea into a package, but it's just an idea. And where I would advise people that are coming up into safety is within their organization, start looking at their areas, that look at what they do, look at the risks, the most high risks, and places where you probably wouldn't normally see an accident happening, but it could cause a fatality, and examining the different ways that something could happen, an event can happen in those potential events, and so those tasks. So it's more of a focus on risk and continuous improvement. So we've for many years now we've known about safety management systems. They've been in existence since the 80s and 90s, and most recently so what I'm talking about is like ISO 45001, there's OSAS 18001, there's a Z10 safety management system. All these are basically best practices. You have the best minds in safety since safety was a profession, since over 100 years, coming together, telling people, okay, for a management system or for your safety program to work, these are the things it should have. And this is going way beyond compliance. So compliance is, we don't want to, we have to do compliance. And I'm not saying, this is not, to say that, we shouldn't be looking at standards, but that's just the beginning. That's a start. But the safety management systems are the direction that, I'm advising clients and new people in the profession that we should be paying attention to, because these are their best practices. And why just meet compliance whenever?
So are you saying the safety management systems deal with the risk assessment and sort of take away from that the recordable, but these safety management systems are robust enough to be able to say, okay, let's look at this area of risk and then define or map out a solution or a mitigation solution of what's going on.
Exactly. So the management system focuses, it pretty much forces an organization to perform a gap analysis, first of all, to determine where are your risks. And then from there, the management system, depending on your risk tolerances or the organization's risk tolerances and the risk matrix model that they have bought into, will use, and they can manage their risk that way. And so, yeah, you can mitigate the areas for a high risk.
Hey, just hold that thought, man. I'm going to be coming back at the other side of the break. I'm with Mr. Lance Rue. Rue as in something delicious, I guess. He is the owner and founder of Safety Pro Resources. His website is www.safetypro.com. I highly recommend that you check it out. I will see you on the other side. Hi, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. I like to learn and I like to have fun. And when I can put them both together, learning and having fun, well, that's a match made in heaven. That's why I put together a drawing for a Louisiana fish excursion, as well as the 2018 Mardi Gras once-in-a-lifetime event. You can find more about this information, about this two wonderful opportunities, at the Industrial Talk website at industrialtalk.com. All right, we're about to begin the second half of our interview with Mr. Lance Rue. I just want to point out something. When I went to his office and had the opportunity to be able to visit with his team, I just want to let you know that they were absolutely the most open and cordial individuals that, and of course, top of their game in safety that I've met in a long time. So, once again, I highly recommend that you check him out, go to his website, give him a buzz. I think I give him some information or I use some information at the end of the interview. But my recommendation is that try to get to know Mr. Lance and his team, and they'll set you straight, most definitely. All right, we're back. And we're back after that, and this is, once again, Lance Rue with Safety Pro Resources. He's got some really interesting, topics to discuss, and for me personally, I think that's very important. We talked a little bit about risk and managing that risk, and what sort of piqued my interest, Lance, was the fact that fatality rates have just sort of been level, and that sort of begat that question of how do you start to move that to the downward position, or better yet, you know, we've got all this OSHA stuff going on, and we're tracking this and doing that and tracking that, and indicating that, oh my gosh, things are trending down, but yet there seems to be an incongruity that exists between the fatality rates and the reporting of OSHA.
Yeah, so we've gotten really, so we're focusing on, trying to think about how to put this. So when an accident happens, we're not asking the right questions. So say a fatality happens, and we're very good at, you know, we can look at the event, look at it in linear terms and say, if we had just not done this one thing, then the accident wouldn't have happened. And then the root causes, or the root cause, I should say, is determined. This is what typically happens in a company. And then the corrective action is a lot of times, you know, blame, shame, and retrain. So we've pointed the finger at an employee because they made a stupid mistake. And then we stop there. And we've only just begun the accident investigation. But we need to keep going, pulling back the layers of the onion and figure out where in the process did we go wrong, if there was a process to begin with. But placing the sole responsibility of the at-risk behavior on the employee, I think has been the wrong approach. And you know, I got into safety in the 90s, and back then it was, you know, all behavior-based safety and people-based safety, and I never bought into it. And I don't know, there was something that just didn't feel right to me, and it's because we put the onus of the risk determination on the employee when they're just trying to do their job. They're just trying to get a paycheck. Us as humans, we're going to find, you know, if we're doing, we have a task, and we know we have to get it done. We're going to find a way to do it. We're pretty good at that. We're pretty smart, and we take risks all the time. I mean, I'm a safety person. I take risks. You know, we have different risk tolerances. You know, it could be as easy, you know, something simple as looking at your phone when somebody texts you when you're going down the road. But you know, there's different levels of risk, and there's a whole other podcast on that, I'm sure, to talk about that. And I'm not an expert on risk analysis, but what we do see is, or what we do know is that we're not asking enough questions to prevent these types of incidents. And so It's just looking at safety from a different approach. The traditional approach has been more on fixing behaviors rather than fixing processes and systems that are designed for continuous improvement and to look at these error traps.
But that's changing an internal culture to strive for continuous improvement from that perspective. Mm-hmm. Because I recognize and I know that companies, here's an issue, a fatality. It's devastating. Let's figure it out. Let's move on and then move on with the business and then sort of push it aside, if I may sort of look at it that way.
Sure. Yeah.
And so there's a desire to, as quickly as possible, move on. And yet right. that sort of, if I hear you correctly there, Lance, that sort of squashes the effort to continue to peel away those layers of that onion, shall we say, and really find that root cause.
It's especially difficult for contractors and service industries. You guys. So
oh, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right, because there's those that whole economy that supports the big manufacturer, for lack of a better term, and to have that level of consistency throughout that value chain is I would imagine very difficult.
Yeah, especially you think about a service provider, you know, like you guys work in a lot of heavy industry, a lot of chemical type plants, and a lot of companies may not have a full-time safety person, somebody who hasn't been trained in accident investigation. And at the same time, if an incident happens, you're put under tremendous pressure to figure out what happened, to give your client an accident report with the corrective action and root cause, and you're worried about losing the job, and there's all these other pressures that you're probably worried about, you know, as a business owner, reputation. So, you know, I guess that's where we tend to make mistakes. And I think as owner operators, the people that you work for, the types of industries that you work for, they place so much emphasis on that number, that OSHA recordable number, and they use that as a tool to measure their contractors. And it's not a very good tool. So we tend to focus on that number and making sure that number stays as low as possible, instead of looking at how our contractors manage their risk, how well developed their safety processes are, how well they learn from their mistakes. And I don't think we're learning.
You're talking cost too. You're talking something that you're balancing cost benefit, and you just, one of those things where you're saying, oh, I want my contractor to be able to have this proactive safety program that manages that risk, and I want to see it. I want to see a documentation. And, of course, the contractor is saying, are you kidding me? I just need to get those guys moving, that type of thing. And that's the realities out in the field. And so as for the bigger companies – I mean, who do you focus on? I mean, who's your, let's say, your sweet spot as a company?
Well, you know, there's definitely a demographic that I think that we're working to help, but we work with pretty much any size company, and we work with owner operators as well as contractors. And so we see it as a, you know, a big, you know, it's a problem no matter what size you are. You know, you have these big owner operators that are, you know, they claim to be champions of safety, and you know, they put these big signs out in front of their gates that they're work so many hours without a lost time accident, and but at the same time, when you meet some of these contractor safety managers, they're not so much interested in their contractors having a safety management system or a process for continuous improvement. They seem to be more compliance driven at the same time, and it's just checking a box. And
so bridging that gap, let's say I, being a contractor, want to work in a facility, and I want to provide services for that facility. And is it the responsibility, where does the responsibility lie on validating that I have the proper processes and safety risk management systems and all that good stuff in place? And how do you bridge that gap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the responsibility lies on the property owner. So it's just there are standards that exist, but there's not a consistent level of measurement that all owner operators look for. And the common denominator is a compliance-based approach. So you've met certain criteria within one of these procurement website clearinghouses, and we all know mm-hmm. who they are. Mm-hmm. And so that you're green lighted on whatever website that the owner operator chooses to belong to, procurement website. And so you have this false sense of security that, okay, they're a green light in our contractor management software, therefore they must be safe. And that's where it stops.
Yeah, and we all know the challenges with that. And now how do you have that conversation with the company and just say, hey, I'm just letting you know, this is sort of the situation. And are you getting any type of pushback or embracing of what you're talking about, or all of that stuff? Because it's not going to happen unless you start changing that culture.
That's interesting you brought that up. We have addressed this on at different forums, I guess you can say, trade associations, and we've even brought it up to contractor safety managers. And so there has been pushback, or at least an effort to keep things the way they are from a compliance driven standpoint, which is kind of disheartening.
Well, if they start, I can tell you right now, the numbers which are being looked at closely will be influenced, shall we say.
I just know we know this is the right approach, and maybe 5 years from now, hopefully sooner, it will start to be the standard of how we look at safety, and we want to be on the front part of that. And so we're doing everything we can at this point, even though there's not a whole lot of buy-in towards this approach. But if your safety program is just driving towards compliance, you're doing safety wrong. I mean, it's
That sort of measures out in the static data on fatalities, where you're not moving the needle on it. It's incongruent. You just can't. It doesn't. If you're reporting, you're supposed to be reporting all these numbers all the time, and it's like, okay, we're going to do a root cause. This person, hurt his finger, or whatever it might be. Well, let's figure that out. And so that person will not hurt his finger, but yet it still doesn't translate into that. And hold on to that thought there. Once again, this is Lance Rue, president and owner of Safety Pro Resources. And I think we've got some good conversation going on here, and we'll revisit on the other end. Thanks. Hey, once again, this is Scott McKenzie with Industrial Talk. If you like what you're listening to, please feel free to sign up for the free podcast as well as the blogs. I'll try to keep it all relevant to your business and hopefully be able to provide some insight into what we do at Industrial Talk and what you do as a professional. Hope to see you soon. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and once again, we're going to wrap it up here. And Lance, a lot of good information, a lot of in-depth stuff, and I know that we can probably expand quite a bit on it. And I think that for many, this is really an interesting conversation, and one that needs to take place in much greater detail. But for a listener out there and trying to consume and get their arms around this approach, what would you think that would be the best way to begin to transition into more of that mindset?
Read more. start. There's a lot of information out there. There are websites. There are books.
Is it out on your website?
Interestingly enough, we're just starting to post more about this on our blog. So, if you go to our blog, you can check it out.
So that's everyone is a great resource. So get out there on that safetyproresources.com to get some more information. Go ahead.
Also, there's some authors. There's Sidney Decker with Safety Differently. It's an excellent book to read to learn more about this safety too, or new view. Todd Conklin has wrote a book on pre-accident investigations, which is an excellent starter point for anybody looking for more information on this this new view. He also has a podcast called Pre-Accident Investigation. There's some other resources out there, and if anybody wanted to just email me, or I'll be happy to provide.
What's interesting is there a way of being able, outside of the education and outside of making you more aware of the what you need to do, are there things that are simple modifications to an existing program that would work at least incrementally into a direction that you talk about?
I think a good what I recommend for, we don't even have to, we do these what we call them, a gap analysis, and there are protocols or tools based on, say, like an ANSI Z10 safety management system, and you can use this gap analysis to find out where what areas that you're working on that are you're already doing, and also point out different areas that you're not doing, so to give you a place to start, give you a bullet list of things to improve on. So there are tools out there, and you can Google those tools. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a David and Goliath type of situation where you're. But I see the real conundrum that exists, that we are, we're recording OSHA machine. We are busy doing that. I guarantee you. And I know that I'm doing that with my other company, and yet the necessity of being able to truly make a safe environment there's still room, which is always fascinating to me, because we've been always focused on safety, and we put those boards up and all that good stuff, and there's still more opportunity to make an environment safer so that these people can go home to their families or wherever they go.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a moving target. Yeah, but it's a process for continuous improvement, and that's the way it needs to be looked at.
So, if I give this 800 number, and if somebody is interested in knowing more about it, I'm going to give this out.
Sure.
Okay. I'd like for you guys to contact Lance Roux. That's Roux, and his number right now is 800-941-0714, and that's 800-941-0714. And if you want to get a hold of him via email, that is LROUX at safetyproconsulting.com. That's LROUX at safetyproconsulting.com. And definitely go out to their website at Safety Pro Resources for all those, that wonderful information, and I guarantee you that they're going to be popping more out there. And I think, Lance, what we're going to do in the future is we need to expand upon this. I think we have a moral obligation to truly highlight the value of what you're talking about, and I think there's a lot more people that would be interested in hearing about it and understanding more about it, and what are the tools and techniques to be able to transition a business from where they are today to where they are tomorrow and make it safer for all to work there.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, and I thank you very much for your time, and thank you very much for listening, and remember to go out there and talk to and get in contact with Mr. Lance, and you got the information, and I'll be posting this out on industrialtalk.com, and it'll all be out there if you have any other information. So thank you very much, all.